I will call upon the Lord. We gather in His name this morning, ever mindful of the call the Lord has for us to come. This is a song that'll, it's an echo song. Echo, 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 echo. I'll do the first part, you do the second part, and we'll just follow along as we do this song. I will call upon the Lord. I start, you respond. I will call upon the Lord.
I will call upon the Lord.
Who
is worthy to be praised?
So shall I be saved.
So shall I be saved from my enemies.
The Lord liveth,
and blessed be the rock, and may the God of my salvation be exalted. The Lord liveth, and blessed be the rock, and may the God of my salvation be exalted.
Yeah. Okay, guys, you're going to join me. Gals, you join the gals. Guys, here we go. I will call upon the gals. The Lord.
I will call upon the Lord. Who is worthy to be praised?
So shall I be saved
from my enemies. The Lord liveth, and blessed be the rock, and may the God of my salvation be exalted. The Lord liveth, and blessed be the rock, and may the God of my salvation be exalted.
Now let's flip-flop them, and gals, you start. No, I tell you what we do. Let's have Lisa go with the gals, and how about our pastor go with the guys, okay? We can do that? Yeah. Well, I didn't mean that kind of thing. So here we go. You did good, Tim. This is the last time through, by the way. Okay, guys? Here we go.
I will call upon the Lord. Who is worthy to be praised? So shall I be saved from my enemies. The Lord liveth, and blessed be the rock, and may the God of my salvation be exalted. The Lord liveth, and blessed be the rock, and may the God of my salvation be exalted.
You never know what Bob's going to do.
He doesn't either, actually.
That's very true, Tim.
The call to worship this morning comes from Psalm 96, verses 1 through 4. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, praise His name. Proclaim His salvation day after day. Declare His glory among the nations, His marvelous deeds among all peoples. For great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods. Small g, all gods.
And on that note, let's all stand. Stand up for Jesus.
Stand up for Jesus as soldiers of the cross.
Lift
high His royal banner, it must not suffer loss. From victory unto victory, His army He shall lead, till every foe is vanquished and Christ is Lord indeed. Stand up for Jesus, the trumpet call obey. Stand forth in mighty conflict in this His glorious day. Let all His faithful serve Him against unnumbered foes. Let courage rise with danger and strength to strength oppose. Stand up for Jesus, the strife will not be long. This day the din of battle, the next a victor's song. His soldiers overcoming, their crown of life shall see. And with the King of glory shall reign eternally.
You may be seated.
You may be seated. Oh, you are seated. Good to see everyone here this morning as you have come to Harbor of Joy. Glad that you're here. We have some that came all the way from Oregon, but I won't say anything more than that. You know who you are. Glad that you're here. Some of you have come from Spear Lake and Milford and even Fostoria, you know, as well. Announcements here today. Just want to let you know that following the service today, we have our semi-annual business meeting. I mean, you'll be dismissed from regular worship, and then we'll round you up, give you a little break and round you up to come back in. For those of you that would like to get in on the business meeting, that will take place this morning as well. My daughter is here from Grand Rapids, Minnesota, the youngest daughter. You know me? You don't have to stand up, but just kind of go like this. All right. On her right side is JJ, and then Lark is on her other side. That's her kids. And they wore me out yesterday. We came to the church to play hide and go seek with my other grandkids.
And they are very good at it.
Yeah. So anyway, if I fall asleep during the message today, that's just kind of what happens. Want to remind you that on Tuesday of this week, we have a women's Bible study that is entitled You're Never Alone, and you are welcome to be a part of that. If you are one of the ladies that are here looking for something to do, if you have nothing else to do, you are more than welcome to come to be a part of that at 9:30 this Tuesday. And then there are prayer partners that meet following that in the library at 11. And then we have Joy Kids this Wednesday with confirmation. There are six confirmation kids that are coming. Three girls and three boys. Guess who are the worst ones in the class? I shouldn't say the worst ones. They just are a little squirrely.
You?
Me.
You got your squirrel right.
You know, the boys are just like me when I was their age. Kind of squirrely. And then Thursday we have a women's luncheon. Is that true? Okay. I thought that was last week. But that's this Thursday at 10:30 at the Pancake House in Spirit Lake. And if you haven't signed up, please do. And just wanted to let you know that there is no trunk or treat this year unless somebody wants to head that up, because Lisa Floss has retired.
No. I just think that it, you know, there's been less and less that have showed up to help. And so I thought, you know, let's just take a break, you know. And in a few years, maybe we'll say, hey, okay, let's do that. That was kind of fun, you know.
I mean, at this point in time, there is no trunk or treat.
It's fine.
But if you want to talk to Lisa and say you will help her or something like that, it sounds like she might be open to that.
Well, Lynn Johnson said that there was supposed to be kind of rotten weather that night,
We'll see. Operation Christmas Child, there's one more week to go. Next Sunday is the last Sunday. Do you know how many boxes have come in so far? Now, so far is not the friend of Job in Job. It was 60. Oh, it's more than that today. 74 boxes are here. So, that's great. Thanks for those of you that have put them together. And our goal is like 100. So, I don't know. Will we make it to 100 this time next week? We'll see. We'll see with that. So that's wonderful. And so you got other things in the bulletin that you can read. You got some grateful notes there, some thank yous from Karen Dockin and Becky Rowe. And it reminds me that Becky Rowe is probably not here today because she went to Muscatine. Miss Becky, are you here? You're there. Are you going? You're going to Muscatine, aren't you?
Thursday, I'll go.
Okay, yeah. Sorry about your brother as well, who passed away this past week down there. So that's where she's going to be going, down to that service and that funeral. Reminds me, Hugh, too, I got a text yesterday. Is, I don't know if her name is Liliana, or is it Lily? I always call her Lily when I see her. She's got, her sons are Jordan and Mason. They come to Joy Kids. But Lilia texted me yesterday, her daughter's boyfriend was shot in a hunting accident yesterday. And so he's in intensive care. He's still living. And she just asked for prayer for him. His name is, they call him Joe. It's Joseph. His name is Joe. And so if you hear anything in the community that's going on related to him, that's the one we're going to be praying for here. So let's do that right now, shall we? Our Heavenly Father, we always like to hear good news. We don't always want to hear the bad news, but we have had some of that too over the years. But this one, Lord, is fresh. And it's one that it's very, very heartfelt when someone texts and says that this has taken place and they ask for prayer. And so we bring before you, Lord Joe, as he lies in the hospital and as he's got family that's there. And I mean, I'm sure even the person who pulled a trigger accidentally or however that happened is feeling terrible today as well. But Lord, you can do great things. And we don't know what your plan is, but we put him in your hands. And we pray, Lord, that your will be done, not only for Joe, but even for the family members and those who are touched or in shock by what has taken place. Hunting is a great, fun experience when everything goes according to plan. But this is one of those times where it didn't go according to plan. And all the fun and all the laughter stops. And the tears and the crying begin. And so we just pray for the outcome, Lord, that we cannot see today, but you know all things. And so we just pray that your healing hand would be upon Joe. Be with the doctors, the nurses, those that care for him, that they may see you at work in and through a terrible event such as this. We thank you, Lord, this morning. We pray song. We sing songs to you. We praise you. We thank you for not only what we hear musically, but also what we'll hear from your word a little bit later. And we're very thankful for everyone that is here today because we can share the load. We know that this will be on the minds of all of us who are here today, wondering and praying and when we see one another again, we'd be asking like, well, have you heard anything? How are things going with Joe? And so, Lord, no matter how heavy our hearts are, we give them to you. Just as the war that's going on in Israel and with Hamas and now Lebanon and the West Bank and who knows where it's going to go. But we just pray, Lord, for Israel to do what they're planning to do. They're your people. We love them. We love you. And no one wants anyone to die or to be maimed for life. But may these kinds of things help us to realize that we need to be right with Jesus in our lives, because we know that he can come at any time. May we be prepared, may we be ready when that happens. Even if this is a wake-up call or a warning to us, we will still say, thank you, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen. Oh, I'm sorry. I got this, Bob. Responsive reading. I always think there's another song that follows this. Okay. Invite you to stand as we stand out of respect for God's word. It comes from Isaiah chapter 45. I will begin, and you see the dark print that you would respond back. For the sake of Jacob, my servant, of Israel, my chosen, I summon you by name and bestow on you a title of honor, though you do not acknowledge me.
I am the Lord, and there is no other. Apart from me, there is no God.
I will strengthen you, though you have not acknowledged me.
So that from the rising of the sun to the place of its setting, men may know there is none other besides you.
I am the Lord, and there is no other.
From the light, I create darkness. I bring prosperity and create disaster. I, the Lord, do all these things.
Turn to me and be saved, all you ends of the earth.
For I am God, and there is no other.
You may be seated.
You may be seated.
Good. Good one. Build your kingdom here. You rule and reign in our hearts again.
Come set your rule and reign in our hearts again. Increase in us, we pray. Unveil why we're made. Come set our hearts ablaze with hope like wildfire in our very souls. Holy Spirit, come invade us now. We are your church. We need your power in us.
We seek your kingdom first. We hunger and we thirst. Refuse to waste our lives, for you're our joy and prize. To see the captives' hearts released, the hurt, the sick, the poor at peace. We lay down our lives for heaven's cause. We are your church. We pray revive this earth. Build your kingdom here. Let the darkness fear. Show your mighty hand. Heal our streets and land. Set your church on fire. Win this nation back. Change the atmosphere. Build your kingdom here. We pray. Unleash your kingdom's power. Reaching the near and far. No force of hell can stop your beauty changing hearts. You made us for much more than this. Awake the kingdom seed in us. Fill us with the strength and love of Christ. We are your church. We are the hope on earth. Build your kingdom here. Let the darkness fear. Show your mighty hand. Heal our streets and land. Set your church on fire. Win this nation back. Change the atmosphere. Build your kingdom here. We pray. Darkness fear. Show your mighty hand. Heal our streets and land. Set your church on fire. Win this nation back. Change the atmosphere. Build your kingdom here. We pray.
Praise band may step down from the stage. I invite you to stand up as we hear God's word this morning. Comes to us not from Matthew today. Comes to us from 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, the beginning of Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 2 through 10. It says this: we always thank God for all of you, mentioning you in our prayers. We continually remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers, beloved by God, that He has chosen you. He has chosen you. Because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit, and with deep conviction. You know how we lived among you for your sake. You became imitators of us and of the Lord. In spite of severe suffering, you welcomed the message with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. And so you became a model to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. The Lord's message rang out from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, your faith in God has become known everywhere. Therefore, we do not need to say anything about it, for they themselves report what kind of reception you gave us. They tell how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your words before us today. Words of hope, words of encouragement, words that get our minds off of things on this world and more on you. May you guide us and lead us as we listen and as we hear. Open hearts today. Open our minds to you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. The title of this message is Welcoming the Message. Good news is before us. Good news is always a welcoming message, isn't it? Bad news can take the wind right out of our sails, as we experienced this morning with this hunting accident. It can just take the wind right out of us. And, you know, we'll be thinking about this on and off throughout the day and the days ahead. The three amigos that are identified in this letter, it's actually in verse 1 of chapter 1, we know who they are. It's Paul, Silas, and Timothy. Those are the three amigos that are writing this letter to the Thessalonians. And Thessalonica is the capital city of Macedonia. Now, some of you might go like, big deal. Well, it is a big deal. Macedonia is really in Europe as we know it today. To the south of Macedonia is Greece, which is also in Europe. And so we're finding that the gospel that is being spread is going out beyond Jerusalem, outside of Israel, into other countries and places. And so we learn from Paul and Silas and Timothy in this letter some things that are very important to them as they go outside of their comfort zone. And they're mission-minded people. They're mission-minded messengers. And what they're telling us here is that they're full of gratitude for what they're doing and what they see happening with the believers and with the people in Thessalonica. Gratitude is another way of being thankful. Being thankful. He also says it's important is to be in praying for one another. There's prayer that they do as they get together with these people. And there's also intercession. It's praying for others by name. These are important things to messengers of God's people, to be involved in these kinds of things. And so there's three words that can be remembered from these men here. The word is work, labor, and hope. Their work that comes because of their faith. That's what they're about. They do what they do because of their faith. It's not the other way around. It's not doing things in order to get faith or thinking that God is going to love them more. It is first faith, and then it's works that follows. They labor. The things that they do are not easy, but they labor. They do them out of the love that they have for Jesus. It's a labor of love. We see that happening here in this church and through those of you that are part of this church. Laboring, doing things that sometimes aren't the easiest, but you do it. Do you think it's easy to do a potluck? I mean, there's a lot of hands that are involved in a potluck. A lot of people that have to make that happen. You know, if you just all said, well, we heard there's a potluck, but I'm just coming, it wouldn't be much, would it? But you know, when it's potluck, people are going to get together. People like to be around food and fellowship, as Dean Ramsey keeps pointing out. But where did he get that idea? He got that idea from looking at Jesus. Jesus did a lot of things with people that he didn't know by eating with them, going to their house, fellowshipping with them. And so that's why we do it here as well. The believers in Thessalonica have also moved on because of a hope that they find that they have now that they never had before. It's a hope that they found in Jesus Christ as their Savior. And they have suffered because of their faith, but they're enduring it. They realize that's part of what's going to happen when you become a Christian. Everything is not going to go your way. But they find a hope in Jesus Christ. It's a living faith. And so these three things, they reflect the qualities of Christian character. We've heard them before: faith, hope, and love. The greatest of these is love. Yeah. But that's a characteristic for those of us who believe in Jesus. We need to be reminded of that over and over again. Notice that in these qualities of character, notice that there is no fear. Fear is not listed. It's faith, love, and hope. The same kind of characteristics that keep you and I going from day to day. And are they important to you? Are these characteristics important to you? Because they need to be, and they should be. We do our letter writing a little bit differently than what we see the way that Paul does it here close to 2,000 years ago. When he writes a letter, he always begins it with his name and who's with him. In this case, it was Paul who's writing, but he also said it's coming from Silas and from Timothy. These three guys are a part of this letter that is given to the Thessalonians. You know, when we do it, we always start our letters out by, "Dear so-and-so." And then at the very end, we kind of sign our name. Or we end it with, "Sincerely yours," or "Love and hugs," or however you want to do that. But here we find that they start the letter with their names first, and then they'll end it with like a benediction or getting their eyes on who God is. The message that we find that they give is a very important message, is that God loved them first. Don't forget that. It's God who chose you. He chose me. It's not the other way around. God first chose you. Interesting. Now, some of you who were dated and maybe that led to marriage, you know, you kind of wanted to be noticed and hopefully that the guy will ask you out. But nowadays, I think the girls ask the guys out. I'm not sure. But we have to go to them. Usually, the old way is the men kind of go or the boys kind of ask the girls out. They choose who they're going to date. God chooses each and every one of us first. And when the gospel message came, as they welcomed that message, remember what they say here, that it happened with power. It was not just words. It was with power. You know, when you say, "I love you," to someone, what should follow that? The way that you treat them, the things that you say to them. There's power in those things, power in those words. Here it was the Holy Spirit that when they came to believe that it wasn't just words, but they sensed that this was powerful, meaningful words to them personally, that it changed their lives and how they lived their lives. It was a message full of conviction that they saw with their own eyes because they looked at Paul and Silas and Timothy who lived among them, and they watched them, what they were like. And, you know, they were kind of probably strange guys at first. But as they looked at how they lived their lives and the things they talked about, they saw a model, they saw an example that they kind of went like, huh. They are different from a lot of people we've ever known in life. The things they talk about, the things that they do, they did not come to be a burden to them. How often I hear that from older people, the elderly go like, I don't want to be a burden to my children. That's really on your minds a lot. You know, I'm not that far away from saying those same things. So Sharon and I, we go like, after I cleaned out my mom's house earlier this year with my brother and two sisters, I go like, I'm not going to put my kids through this. And so it helps to move every now and then because you have to get rid of stuff. So we still have too much stuff, don't we, Sharon? And you keep buying things. I just don't know why that is. No. Well, I guess I blew that one.
Where are you going to work on Monday?
I'm going to come to your house and stay there, I think, Bob. The Thessalonians were going through some suffering like I am right now. Or I might be, I don't know. But there was still joy that came to them because they welcomed this message that Paul and Silas and Timothy brought to them. You know, there's something about welcoming a message, especially this one that is able to change your life, rather than to close your ears or to say like, yada, 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 I heard that many times before. Well, then it's never really penetrated into your heart. You've got it up here, but it hasn't really gone down and soaked into your heart. You've got head knowledge, but not heart knowledge. The Thessalonians, even though they went through some difficult times and were suffering, they had a joy that came to them by the Holy Spirit. And that's, you know, that's one of the fruits of the Spirit, isn't it? Is joy. And every believer has all those. Sometimes we have to look hard and look deep to ever find them in our lives, but they've been given to us. Now, if we use them or not, that's up to us, I guess, but the Holy Spirit is there to help us to carry out these things. Do you need patience? Guess what? Patience is fruit of the Spirit. We don't want to pray for patience, but when we do, the best way you get patience is through difficulties and hardship. You have to endure it in order to get patience. Got patience with your kids? Guess what? The things you go through with your children produces patience in your life. That's why grandpa and grandmas are so wonderful. When the grandkids come around, they're much more patient. But I'm not there yet. You know? I'm heading in that direction, but I'm not there yet. Your faith will touch people you've never met before. And that's what Paul is saying to remind these Thessalonian believers of saying, you know, your faith is going into Macedonia or out of Macedonia into Greece. You're touching people's lives that you've never met before. And we find that with when Patty Griffiths goes to Tanzania, Africa. New Life Foundation. I got that right? Oh, Next Life. All right. I always get that wrong. Next Life Foundation. When she goes there as kind of like representing us. Some of you have gone there with her. And so the people there, the kids there, get to see you, but they don't see all of you, all of us that are here. But we help her to get there. People we've never met before. The boxes in the back pew in the fellowship hall, Operation Christmas Child, we will never ever see the children who get those boxes. But we know they're going to go somewhere in this world, and the ones who receive them are going to be touched by those boxes that you put together. Last Wednesday night was a wonderful time with John and Julie Battern, who were here talking about how they got a way of cleaning water wherever they go around the world. You know that a lot of places in the world, they drink bacteria-filled water, dirty water. And it causes a lot of diseases and a lot of problems. And they are going around the world with some little kits that will just help not just a few people, but thousands to have just clean drinking water. And they'll show in a microscope, they'll put one drop of water on a little slide and put it under the microscope, and they've got it kind of a little monitor that the people can look at, and they see a lot of squiggly little things moving around in that water that came from their drinking source. But when they put a drop in of what they're doing, a little while later, they look under that microscope, and people then look at it, and they go like, all those squiggly things are gone because they died. Now they have clean water. They're doing this in India as well as in, right next to India, Nepal. Right close to the Himalayan mountains, but also in Africa as well. They're going to Africa, I believe, shortly. So things that we do will touch people's lives. We have that opportunity, we have that invitation to do those kinds of things. Doesn't mean you have to be a missionary and go overseas, but you can help someone who wants to go to get there and to do these kinds of things, and you'll still be a part of that. So as they're hearing about the church's testimony, they're hearing it from other places where they go of how these believers in Thessalonica have been very influential in how they're living their lives. So when they welcomed the message, how did it change these people who lived in Thessalonica? It goes on and it says, they turned away from worshiping idols. Now at the time in which this is written, there are lots of idols because people believed in a lot of different gods. And they would never shut it off on one god. They'd always leave it open for new gods to come in that people could worship. But here they find a strange message coming to them through Paul, Silas, and Timothy that says, no, there's only one God. What's the first commandment? You shall have no other gods before me. There's no other gods. We said that in a responsive reading in Isaiah. There are no other gods. There's only one true living God who sent us his Son, Jesus Christ, and who gave us the Holy Spirit. One God in three persons. Now, we get sometimes criticized by other faiths, other world religions, of saying, you're worshiping three different gods. And we go like, no, it's just one God in three persons. There's a Trinity that's there. Now try to explain the Trinity. I don't know if anybody can explain it really well. We can use object lessons. An egg, you got the shell, the white stuff, and the yolk. There's three things that make up an egg, but still an egg. You got water. Water can be ice, it can be steam, and it can be something you can drink. It's liquid, but it's still water. Now, I can wrap my head around that a little bit. But I remember talking with some of my professors in Bible college and in seminary about the Trinity, and they just said, well, Tim, if you understood the Trinity really well, that would make you God. And they just said, there's no way of understanding the Trinity. You won't find the word Trinity anywhere in the Scriptures. But you'll find the Father, and you'll find the Son, and you'll find the Holy Spirit at work. Different roles that they play throughout the Bible. But they're all God. After they gave up worshiping other gods and other idols, it says that the Thessalonians began to serve the living and the true God. And they would wait for Jesus' return from heaven. They, even back then, they thought that Jesus was going to come at any time. And we still believe that, even almost 2,000 years later. But when Jesus comes, they knew that Jesus would rescue them from the coming wrath. Now, wrath is a very strong word of judgment. You find that even in the New Testament, in John chapter 3, verse 36, Jesus is speaking. We know that Jesus does not lie. What he says, he means. There's power in what he has to say, and he says this here, that whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever rejects the Son will not see life. For God's wrath remains on him. Yikes. You do not want to have God's wrath on you, because you're not going to win. Welcoming the message makes a huge difference. Let me ask you this. Did the Apostle Paul always welcome the message? He didn't. Because he was Saul of Tarsus. And he was a persecutor of Christians in his day. He would go out looking for Christians, and he would bring them in to be put in jail or treat them harshly. But he was like the number one Pharisee that went out there looking for other believers. And God got a hold of him on his way to Damascus, and he became a believer. He welcomed the message that he heard when Jesus talked to him and through other believers. Did Silas and Timothy hear the message from someone else? You know, they were kind of more like Greek-born guys. Silas, his real name was Silvanus. That's not a TV. But Silvanus. And Paul would refer to him as Silas. Timothy heard it from his grandma and from his mother. His father was a Greek. His mom was Jewish. These guys heard it from somebody else and welcomed the message into their lives and into their hearts. That just changed them. Timothy became a pastor like in Philippi. and in Ephesus. You never know how God is going to use his message. I don't know how he's going to use this message today with those of you that are here. But I pray that he does. There'd be no reason to be a pastor or be a preacher if you could not preach and give God's word to people who need to hear the hope and the love that comes from God that's available to you every day. Have you welcomed the message into your life? Have you? That's my big question for you today. It's probably God's question for you as well. Jesus is more than just a name. He is the one who will really set you free and will forgive you of all your sins. And then you can easily say that he has rescued me from God's wrath, because I'm forgiven. If I stand before God, what are you going to say? I did this and this and this, and I was a good neighbor to this person and that person. I did all of these kinds of things. Or are you going to say, like, Lord, I don't deserve to go to heaven. I'm just trusting in the words of your son Jesus, who said that if I believe in him, he will let me in. And I do. I believe in Jesus, who forgave me, died for me, and rose again. That's the only way any one of us will ever get to heaven. Through Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, we don't want this Sunday to be like any other Sunday. Yes, we're here at your house. We're here at your church, one of many in this area. I don't know what is said and what is preached in other churches, Lord, in this area. I'd like to believe that everyone preaches pretty much the same thing and wants people to come to faith in Jesus Christ. But I don't know. What's really relevant is that we're here and we can hear your word. And if you don't believe what you have heard today, I just invite you to go back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and read the first 10 verses yourself. So, Lord, do your work in the midst of our gathering here today. May your Holy Spirit nudge, convict, bring about an awareness of saying, I see my need, that I need Christ in my life. And that we would simply just say, Lord, here am I. I need you. Forgive me. Help me to live for you each day. In your name I pray. Let us pray the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to say, to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Let us stand as we recite the Apostles' Creed together this morning. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth.
I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. Receive the benediction. Lord, may we go with your peace. And we thank you for what we have just heard today, that you would use it in our hearts and in our lives, because you are here. You are here. In your name we pray. Amen. Bob.
Leaning on the everlasting arms. What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarm. Leaning on the everlasting arms. What have I to fear? What if? Leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, how bright the path grows from day to day. Leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure.
That was really off, Bob.
It was. I couldn't find a key.
Before you go, I just want you to know that this Joseph that I've talked about that was in this hunting accident, there are some benefits going on for him, and there's something on the webpage or...
They can see me if they want information.
Okay, if you want information, see Amy over here. She knows this guy. His last name is Solomon, S-O-L-M-O-N, Solomon.
He was the young man that you saw on the Weather Channel who rescued John Adams, who broke through the ice during
the
Winter Games. So he was that
guy.
Man who rescued
wow.
The dog and
you saw the weather. Okay, yeah, all right. Well, see Amy if you got questions about him. And she sometimes teaches there at Okoboji, the guy goes to school here at Okoboji, here in Milford, so we keep him in your prayers. Thank you. You're dismissed. You can. Thanks, Nancy. Boop, 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 boop.